Over the past year, two cases of mad cow disease were confirmed in the U.S., the first in Texas, the second in Alabama. A new report suggests that these cases and these cows were infected by a mysterious strain of the disease, one that also turned up in cows in Europe and Japan. The strain does not seem to form that spongy brain lesion that is typical of mad cow. Some researchers suggest that it may even have formed spontaneously. So what does this mean for the safety of U.S. beef? Should we be worried? Here to talk about this rare form of mad cow disease is Dr. Mo Salman, professor in the College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences and director of the Animal Population Health Institute at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. Welcome to the program, Dr. Salman.
Thank you.
Remind us again what mad cow disease is.
Well, it's the disease that it's caused by a prion, which is an agent that is smaller than the virus. At least that's what we know about it. And it can cause a spontaneous a spongiform encephalopathy, or it's referred to as the BSE, the bovine spongiform encephalopathy.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us about these cases of these cows. What makes them so different from the typical mad cow disease that you just described?
Well, I think it's they could show the same type of signs and symptoms as the typical cases. The only difference here is when they look at them in using microscope, and specifically in one of these tests, which is called the Western blot, they show that their protein, or the molecular weight of the protein associated with this agent, is different than from the other, what we call the typical cases. And the Western blot is considered one of the two confirmatory tests for this disease. And as you mentioned in the beginning, some of these atypical cases were identified in Europe, as well as in Japan. But the number of these cases are very small, and mainly we are referring to the most rare of this rare disease, or the rarest of the rare.
Mm-hmm. Why is it so rare?
I think it's mainly because this disease is just to start with. It was rare, except in couple countries like UK and Switzerland in the beginning, or in Republic of Ireland, but even among European countries are just very few cases that are identified with the disease.
Mm-hmm. The mad cow disease that we're familiar with is usually contracted through animal feed, right?
Correct.
There's some talk that this one is spontaneous. It appears by itself.
Well, that's some of the scientists are trying to discuss this, or maybe at least to provide some evidence like this is a spontaneous. But to provide any type of evidence that this is a spontaneous, that will take quite a few both experiments and observations in the long term. As I said, mainly because this the rarest of the rare, then it will be very difficult to provide evidence like this. These are spontaneous. And the reason we are talking about spontaneous, because with this type of diseases, what we call TSE, and including in a human and other animal species, there are some cases in which like that what we will refer to them as spontaneous. For example, in a human, we do have a disease, CJD, which is considered almost like by some researchers as a spontaneous episode of this type of diseases. Mm-hmm. And currently there are, you could count them in less than 20 cases across all the world in which would be considered as atypical BSE cases. And by the way, there are not all of them similar in terms of the characteristics of this molecular weight protein, and because there are at least three strains of these atypical cases, One of them is called the base or the bovine atypical spongiform encephalopathy, and the other one is the what we call the low BSE, and the other one is the high BSE. The low and high is mainly referring to the molecular weight of this protein. Mm-hmm. And the base, the bovine atypical spongiform encephalopathy, was identified in Italy, and that was the first case, what it's called the atypical.
Mm-hmm. Now, the U.S. Department of Agriculture stated in an internal memo, and I quote, "There's no evidence to justify any changes in surveillance methods, disease control, or public health measures already taken in the United States," and referring to these two cases. Do you agree? Do you think Americans should be concerned?
I agree with the memo. I don't think is the American consumer should be concerned. I don't think these, in few cases, will have any significant contributor to our food safety. And also, I don't think it will have an effect on our animal health programs.
Mm-hmm. Because I think people might be concerned that this is a kind of, even though you say it's very rare, maybe it's very rare because we just haven't been searching for it.
We do have a very intensive surveillance system, as well as in Europe. I mean, even if we ignore what we are doing here and focus on countries such as Japan and European countries, where they do very intensive testing for the detection of the BSE cases, they have not, as I said before, identified enough cases that are labeled as atypical cases. So, mm-hmm. yes, we are, or some of the countries are looking for it, including United States. I don't think we do have enough evidence to show like it's a high level of prevalence of the disease.
So to you, it's more of a scientific curiosity more than
exactly.
anything else.
Exactly. And I agree with the way you put it. I think is a scientific curiosity for some researchers, and I think it will be a challenge for them, because how to provide evidence, I mean, whether these cases are spontaneous or we are talking about the disease has some modification, or the agent, I mean, has some modification. And they were identified mainly through the rapid test, which is the first screening test used for this disease. So they were positive for the rapid test. So it adds a little bit to the curiosity of researchers. And I think as scientists who have been working on this disease and this agent for more than 20 years, they don't want to give up, and it's almost like their pet disease, and they want to continue working on it.
It's a tiny little pet disease. But they do think this is also a prion cause, spontaneous one.
It's for sure is a prion,
yeah.
And some
yeah.
of the experiments done on the atypical cases, which were presented around 2 weeks ago in London, some of the experiments were done is showed like they could be infectious, i.e. they could transmit the disease or the agent from one animal to the other through the different routes they did.
So it's possible that it could be it could appear spontaneously, but then also become infectious.
That's possible, but I think is we are far from reaching that type of conclusion.
Mm-hmm. What would you conclude at this point? If you had to describe it, what would you conclude?
My conclusion is our current intervention strategies for maintaining healthy and safe animal food are sufficient to prevent that type of propagation of this agent, whether typical or atypical. Mm-hmm. And I think is we need to focus on the intervention strategies rather than trying to mainly maintain what's the characteristics of this agent.
And what intervention strategies would we focus on?
Well, I think it's currently we try to focus on maintaining the avoiding any type of consuming what we call the high-risk materials. And that's currently the USDA and the U.S. government has implemented very strict rules in terms of the avoiding the distribution of these risk materials for human food chain. And the second most important thing is maintaining some way to monitor the implication of the and the enforcement of what we call the feed ban on feeding ruminant to ruminants. That's the main source of protein sometimes used in Europe, or that's how the BSE propagated in Europe and originally.
Are you satisfied that, that's tight enough?
I think it needs more enforcement, but I think is the law is here, and I think is what we need to see how that can be applied.
Mm-hmm. So you're pretty optimistic that this is just some isolated phenomena that you scientists would love to just keep watching.
I will not call it like isolated phenomena, but I will call it as the as a curiosity idea that we need to continue see what will happen to it. The reason I don't want to call it isolated phenomena because I believe like there is something we need to understand about this agent and how it can be modified or maybe come as a spontaneous.
Mm-hmm. All right, Doctor, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you.
And good luck to you.
Thanks.
Dr. Mal Salman, a professor in the College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences and director of the Animal Population Health Institute at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. We're going to take a short break and come back with a, hopefully, and I'm sure, a very interesting debate about what is scientific truth. Have the liberals hijacked science long enough? As Tom Bethel says in his book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Science, we're going to bring back someone who's been on before with us to talk to debate with him, Chris Mooney, author of The Republican War on Science. And your questions, what do you think? So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break.